himself in Molotov. Well, one example is given, which is familiar to people in the East, perhaps more. If in some tropical diseases, they can go into a delirium, and sometimes they can become extremely violent. They get the impression that they're being attacked. And people who are strong or who have some technique are deputed to control them in an emergency. Now, in those cases, it's like, it can be like a wild beast almost. And you can be punched in the face and kicked. And your force or skill, anyway, has to be used to control them. It has to be used. But the man who is doing this knows and sees within the wild beast the noble human being who is temporarily covered over by delirium. It has to be met, the wild beast has to be met, and it has to be controlled. But it doesn't mean that it's that he believes that the nature of what is there is that of a wild beast. Well, our teacher gave used to give some examples. It didn't mean to see the Lord in everyone. It didn't mean that simply to fall in with them as they were. And our teacher sometimes pointed this out. Christ was by no means always meek. He was quite capable of telling his critics that they were liars and children of the devil because of their pride and their arrogance. So the process after the realization is that if he's, Shankara says, the typical case is that he begins to retire from action, but our teacher pointed out, and as Shankara points out in seven places, that there are cases where he's involved in action when he attains this, when this vision comes to him, and then he continues in that action, but on a different basis. Shankara says that it's impossible for the karma yogi to practice jnana yoga. Quite impossible. He says this very strongly in, for instance, in chapter 10. But our teacher, who was said he was a very faithful follower of Sri Shankara, and therefore that any anything he said about the two paths being pursued together was only tentative. We can see that the Gita itself presents the two paths together, sometimes verse following verse. But what Shankara is saying is that to pursue the path of jnana yoga, the man must have, the person must have the vision of the self. And then it will not be for him to adopt the position of being separate from the Lord. He has seen already the true self. And in the same way, he says that karma yoga, now he defines karma yoga in this in chapter 12, he gives it as two elements. He said it's samadhi on the universal form, which has been shown in chapter 11, and it's works for the sake of the Lord. He gives two elements there, but we are expected to fill in the third one, the patient endurance of the opposites. And he says this is not for those who have realized the true self. They are working in a different way. They are simply confirming their vision of the true self, but they are not working in karma yoga. And are they? When they do works, it's on a different basis. The karma yogi is doing works to purify the mind and to as a worship of God. But the jnana yogi is doing works. When he does them, he has nothing that he needs to do, but when he does them, he's doing it for the protection of the world and to set a good example to the world. Then the process by which the karma yoga elements are changed into the corresponding elements of one who sees the self and who is practicing jhana yoga in order to attain liberation, as Sri Shankara repeatedly says. The patient endurance of the opposites becomes that he's no longer afflicted by them at all. Shankara says in chapter 18, for instance, that the Sankhya will not feel any pain in the self as a result of any changes, because all changes take place in the field, and he is the witnesser of the field. But Shankara explains that impressions of the past can sometimes rise, and although they're known to be illusory, they can affect us. And various examples are given, but one which is familiar in the East is a man who's had a drug. We would say a man who's drunk. He comes in at night and he throws himself down the bed, and he feels a convulsion underneath him, and there's a snake. Now, the force of his body has killed the snake, but he scratched his hand. In jumping up, he scratched his hand. And in his intoxicated state, he thinks the snake has, bitten him, we would say. And then he begins to feel intense pain. Now, when the doctor is called, he sees that this is no snake bite. But the man is incapable, he's intoxicated. And he's certain. He says, I feel the pain. It's terrible. Now, the doctor then says, he doesn't say, oh, nonsense. He says, oh, yes, but we've got it in time. He only just grazed you. And now I'll do this. And he applies some foot ointment to it, or something like that. And he says, now, it'll go down. It'll take a little time, but it'll go down gradually. And some of them take it up by stages. They say, now the pain, the whole arm, now it'll be clear from here, and now it'll be clear from here. And they actually feel the pain clearing up until it's finally cleared. This is quite a well-known system of remedy, which has been recorded in a number of books. So that his action is on a different basis. And his action is in accordance with the beliefs of the people of the world who are acting themselves. And the Gita says he should perform his actions in the same way as they perform their actions. Like, again, an example is given, like parents playing some of these games with children where you win counters. The parents play very seriously. So do the children. But the basis is entirely different. The children actually think they're gaining something. They think they're getting richer as the counters pile up, or they get very depressed when they begin to lose all their counters. The parents have the same experience and play in the same way, but the basis is entirely different. And this example is given of what's technically called lila, under which the temporary limitations are taken as real for the time being, and the game is enjoyed.